Okay, well, let's open up our Bibles then at Acts chapter 8, the passage of scripture we read a little bit earlier. And let's look at what we might call the curious incident of the Ethiopian in the desert. In Acts chapter 8, you've got two people. You've got one who is a disciple of Jesus and one who is not a disciple of Jesus. And the disciple of Jesus is engaged in evangelism. He's about mission. The one who's not a disciple of Jesus, when he hears about Jesus, becomes a disciple of Jesus. So I've got two purposes in mind this morning as we come to God's word. The first purpose is this, that to motivate us to the exciting and the daring task of mission. And that, of course, is with Alpha in mind. Some of you remember a little while ago I mentioned in the Metro newspaper they have a thing called the Rush Hour Crush, and how I love reading that particular column. Thank you to all of you who send me Rush Hour Crushes from that day. It's great to read about them. Sorry, it's not that the congregation send me a Rush Hour Crush. They cut it out of the newspaper and send it to me. Okay, right, get that clear. Okay, so at the end of the Rush Hour Crush, okay, usually after the little paragraph, they say, meet for coffee, okay? So every now and again, we're going to hear in this sermon, meet for Alpha. Okay, all right, a little gimmick, but we'll keep it in our mind. Alpha? Say that to someone on the tube. Okay, so that's the first thing, okay, to motivate us to mission. The second thing I want to find from this passage of Scripture is that what a tremendous thing it is for a person to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's keep those two things in mind as we consider these two different people, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip, first of all, well, he's introduced to us, verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip. We've come across Philip before in Acts of the Apostles. In Acts chapter 6, he's introduced as a deacon of the church. And deacons in those days had big responsibilities for the social care of church life. Now, Philip was a deacon, but he was also an evangelist. He had a real heart for the gospel. He had been involved earlier on in Acts chapter 8 in a dangerous mission in Samaria, where it was a difficult place to share about Jesus. Philip, being brave, daring, and bold, shared with people about the Savior. Now, Philip was open to the Lord's leading. Again in verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. He's directed by an angel of God to go on mission. We're not quite sure how that happened. We're not quite sure what kind of voice he heard, or whether it was just an impression on his heart, or a prompting, or a nudging from this angel. But it was the angel of the Lord that directed Philip to do this mission. And who's to say that that doesn't happen now? When you've got this deep compulsion in your heart to share the gospel of Jesus with somebody, who's to say that's not an angel prompting you? It might not be, but it might be. But it certainly happened then, didn't it? Why not now? So this angel of the Lord prompted Philip for mission. So Philip then was open to God's leading. And not only was he open to the leading of the Lord, he was also then obedient to the leading of the Lord. Verse 27, so he started out. He went. Verse 29 tells us the Spirit then prompted him. And verse 30 tells us he was so keen for mission that he ran up to the chariot. So here's this man, Philip, a tremendous example of evangelism. And maybe an example to us as well as we think about inviting people to Alpha. Who is it that the Lord is laying on your heart? Family member? Friend? someone on your front line, a work colleague, someone in the group that you work in the church for outreach purposes. Are you open to the Lord's leading you to that person? And then are you obedient and actually asking that person about Jesus? Philip had no idea what would happen next, and yet, being obedient, something wonderful happened. So that brings us on to the Ethiopian eunuch. We read about him in verses 26 to 28. We've read 26, so let's read verse 27. So Philip started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. So this man, he's an unnamed man, we don't know his name, but this man is on a journey. Scripture tells us he's on the road, journeying from one place to another. Well, that's symbolic of life, isn't it? We're all on that J word, Strictly Come Dancing starts soon, and you'll hear the J word a lot in that. We're all on this like journey, the journey of life, every one of us. We're going from some place to somewhere else. We're all on a journey. And this man, Ethiopian man, was on a journey, but he was in a desert. It was a desert road. It wasn't that he was lost, but he was on a road that was barren and empty. Like a lot of people, they're on a journey, but there's nothing in it. It's not fulfilling. It's like they're walking through a desert. Their soul is empty. There's a real hunger about them for some kind of reality. They're on a desert road of life, just like this Ethiopian man. So God sends Philip to this man that he might hear the gospel and be saved. And I really want to note that it's the Lord, through the angel and through the Spirit, that sends Philip to this man on the desert road. It's the Lord that does it. So God is active in this. It's not just that Philip has this great idea to do a mission and evangelism. It's not that Philip suddenly thinks, oh, I'll just go for a little journey down the desert road. It's God is active in this. God is loving this Ethiopian before the Ethiopian loves him. Jesus once said that the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. So our God is seeking people to be saved. He is actively pursuing people for salvation. In one sense, as one commentator put it, then God is saying to Philip, go and catch that man. He's on his chariot and he's going through this desert road. Go and catch him. And it makes us think of what Jesus said to his disciples. You follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. Go and catch them. And that's what God is saying to Philip. Go and catch that man. He's on his way. Go with the gospel to that man. And that may well be the case with the person that God has laid on your heart. God is going before you. There's a reason why they're asking you questions about what you did on Sunday. There's a reason why they're asking you questions about your faith, and there's a reason why you want to tell them about your faith. God is working before you, actively pursuing that person for salvation. Why not say to them, Alpha? You know, we learn a few more things about this man, this Ethiopian man. In verse 27, we read that he was an African man, Ethiopian. Ethiopia back in the first century and before that was far bigger than Ethiopia now. It would have taken in lots of Lower Egypt and lots of Upper Sudan as we know it. It was a big kingdom of the day. And this man was an important man. He was in charge of all the treasury of the queen. He worked for royalty. Really top job that he had. The chariot that he was driving in or being driven in wouldn't have been a chariot like we see on Ben-Hur where they race around. Neither would it have been a war chariot for swift and quick movement. There are all kinds of different chariots, just as there are all kinds of different cars today. This would have been a Bentley of a chariot. This was built for comfort. And it might not have been pulled by horses, but by oxen to move slowly. So it was probably a big chariot. The Ethiopian man is in it. There's a driver, a chauffeur, and then he invites Philip to join him as well. This is like stately. This is a royal chariot. So here's this Ethiopian African. He's got a top job, and we read that he's a eunuch. So he was a castrated man. Most of the people, the men that worked for royalty, would have been castrated so that the princesses would have been safe from them. But I suggest that probably gave him big issues with his sexuality, being a castrated man. What would have that done to his mind, let alone other parts of his body? But what would it have done to his mind? What would it have done to his self-image? Did he ever wonder, well, who am I? No, he would have had issues with his sexuality, issues with his self-image. And this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, who was not a disciple, is about to become a disciple because of an obedient disciple named Philip. So Philip goes up to this Ethiopian man, and he looks beyond the man's skin color. He looks beyond the man's race. He looks beyond the man's chariot and top job in society. And he looks beyond the man's sexuality. And he sees a man in need of salvation. And we need to do the same as well. Do you know, sometimes, sinfully in our mind, we put up barriers, our own barriers, to evangelism. Well, the gospel breaks down all social and racial and ethnic barriers. And we need to look beyond the drink, beyond the drugs, beyond the sexuality, beyond the lifestyle, and beyond the problems, and see the person in need of salvation. You may think that your friend is so messed up and their life is in such a state that they would never, ever want to hear the gospel of Jesus. They're 1,000 miles away from you in the gospel of Jesus. But who knows? Who knows that God is active in their life? Look beyond whatever their outward lifestyle and problems. Look beyond that. See the person, just as Philip did. Now, this Ethiopian man really did need to hear the gospel, because he was a man who was aware of God, but he wasn't saved. He was religious, but he was Christless. There's lots of people like this. You see, in verse 27, we read that this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Now, if he had had a sat-nav in his chariot or access to Google Maps, he would have found that in order to get from Addis Ababa to Jerusalem, it would take him 726 hours to walk. He was in a chariot, but this chariot wasn't going very fast. It took him a long time to get to Jerusalem and back. It was only 3,855 kilometers. And if he followed that particular Google Maps, he would have to cross a few ferries, it tells us as well. It's really funny to look at it, actually, because it says, if you scroll down on directions, which we can't do here, but it says, turn left. You're at Addis Ababa. Turn left. Cross the bridge. Great fun. Okay. So he's serious about worshiping. He travels ever such a long way in order to worship. He goes to Jerusalem to worship, and he's worshipped, and now he is on his way home, and he's reading the scriptures. In verse 28, we read this. On his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. He's reading the scriptures. He's really keen, isn't he, to know the way of salvation. So he's aware of God. He's aware of the scriptures. But they didn't make any sense to him. Scriptures were like a puzzle without any answers. Basically, he did not know Jesus. Look at verse 34. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" The scriptures didn't make sense to him at all. He was a deep thinker, and he was probably really sincere in his worship as well, concerned for his soul, concerned for the truth, but he needed to know about Jesus. And maybe there's people like this around today. I'm sure there are. Their condition is religious but not saved. They're worshiping but don't have any reality. They read the Bible but have no understanding. They're nice people, good people, really friendly people, but not saved people. Maybe this is you this morning, actually. You're in church, you've heard the Bible read, you've sung hymns, but it just doesn't make any sense to you at all. And you want to find out more. Alpha? What this man needed, this Ethiopian eunuch needed, he needed a Christian who was open to the Lord's leading and obedient to the Lord's leading in order for him to find out about Jesus so that his puzzle might be answered. That's the first thing we learn about this man. He was aware of God but not saved. The second thing is three things. The second thing we learn about this man is that he needed the gospel explained to him. We said his condition is religious but ignorant, reading the Bible but not understanding it, needing it explained. So enter Philip to his life, Philip with this burning heart to tell people about Jesus, and Philip asks this man a great question. So in verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, and Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" So who asked the first question in this conversation on evangelism? It's not the seeker, but it's the disciple. He asks the first question. He's proactive. Do you understand what you are reading? Sometimes people ask us about our faith. You might get that in your workplace or in your university. Just to explain your faith. What a great opportunity to do so. But you know, sometimes I think we ought to ask people about their faith and their life. Philip says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The question comes from him. And maybe we could do that. Maybe we could pray to the Lord, "Lord, I'm open to your leading. I'll be obedient to your leading. Lead me to the person." And then you'll have in mind maybe a question to ask them that will open up the conversation to tell about Jesus. Well, this man is honest. In verse 31, he says, "How can I? Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And that is the condition of non-disciples. How can they understand unless somebody explains it and tells them? So Philip does. He takes this opportunity from the Isaiah the prophet, for the eunuch was reading this passage from Isaiah chapter 53 about Jesus being led like a sheep to the slaughter, about Jesus being a lamb before its shearer is silent, and about Jesus not complaining or opening his mouth. He reads to him about Jesus, who in his humiliation was deprived of justice. Nobody can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth. He was crucified. And from that very passage of Scripture, verse 35, Philip begins to explain the good news about Jesus. You see how the Bible puts that? It's not just that he explains about Jesus. He explains the good news about Jesus. It's really great news, the gospel. Really great news. And we should be ready and willing to tell it. We're not telling someone some really bad news. We've got good news to share. The good news about Jesus. Let's not be embarrassed by the gospel. Let's seek to explain it. Maybe to one of your friends. Well, the third and final thing then to say about this man is that he became a disciple of Jesus. Look at verse 36. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. That must mean that in the conversation that Philip had in this moving chariot along the desert road, that at some point Philip said to the Ethiopian about baptism. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them." See, baptism is the physical response to the gospel. We believe in our heart, we believe in our mind, and we trust the Savior. But in order to show other people that we've done that, we're baptized. And there are a lot of water. There must have been an oasis that they came across, because we read in verse 38 that both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. This was full immersion. And there's a great symbolism about that picture in baptism. You put someone under the water to show they've died to their old way of life. They're under the water then to show that they're buried with Christ. They come back up out of the water in order to show they live a new life. And this man was baptized. He'd come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. His baptism then was a redirection of his life. Dead to the old, alive to the new. So what happened next in this man's life? Well, verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. This man, who had been a puzzled man right at the beginning, is now a rejoicing man as he goes back to Ethiopia. What a great testimony to have. He travels down to Jerusalem as an ignorant worshiper. He returns back to Ethiopia as a living saint, someone who has trusted Jesus and someone who's following. He goes on his way rejoicing. You know, that's one of the great experiences that a disciple of Jesus has. There's many experiences. There's peace, there's contentment, there's assurance, there's confidence, there's hope, there's forgiveness, there's being cleansed, there's being accepted. But one of the great things about salvation is the joy of salvation, the joy that Jesus gives. My sins are forgiven. I am loved with an unending love. I will live forever in God's presence. That brings great joy. So the Christian does have this, the joy of salvation. Hundreds of years after this, there was another African theologian called Augustine, and he wrote this: a Christian should be an alleluia from head to foot. A German theologian called Martin Luther wrote, a Christian ought to be a living doxology. British theologians are very miserable, and they say, okay, I guess you can have rejoicing if the sun is shining. We can be so down in the mouth, can't we? There is a joy that salvation brings. And this Ethiopian eunuch, he experienced that joy. Well, two people on the desert road. A man who was not yet a disciple, but became a disciple. Because a disciple who was open to the leading of God and obedient to the call of mission tells the gospel to this man. And this man is saved forever and has real joy in his heart. Who knows? But that could happen to you or one of your friends. Alpha?